Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, we have Keith Wallin. You might know him from Breaking Benjamin, but he's got a great solo album out now as well. We do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Anywhere you listen, that's all we care about. You just want to be sharing the love. We've been in the top 100 for the last couple of weeks, so thank you so much. But if you're a big Keith fan, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial-free, exclusively on GasDigitalNetwork.com. You use the code SDR, you get a 7-day free trial, you get 20% off. You don't like it, here's what you do. Download all the episodes and cancel your membership within the 7 days. You won't even get charged. Really, all I care about is you spreading the love and getting the word out there that the SDR show is for you to listen to. But here it is right now, the Keith Wallin episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me for the first time co-hosting, but I think maybe the fourth or fifth time on the show, creator and host of Goddamn Comedy Jam and the host of the 500 podcast, it is Josh Adam Meyer. Sorry, buddy.
Long overdue for me to be the co-host, but I think I've been on about 10 times.
10 times. Oh, you know, it's funny, by the way, I reached out to you a couple times for your 500 podcast and said, all right, I'll pick this one or this one. Never hear back.
Okay.
Never.
All right, time out. All right, and I think everybody will be able to understand you. The one we had you on, I penciled you in to do Soundgarden Super Unknown, and then Kim Thayil came through and was like, I'm going to do it. So, and I was like, hey, man, I can't because Ralph Sutton wants to do your record. Yeah, I would love to hear what you have to say, but he's like, no, I get it. And then I was like, and then you got sick that day.
All right, well, here's my answer, brother. Ready? See if you can see this on camera. There we go. Right on camera. All right. So now, this dude, very interesting. I do the deep dive researches and stuff. He joined one of the biggest rock bands in the goddamn world. And about 8 years ago now, 7 years ago, just put out a solo record as well. It is called This World or the Next. We are talking with the guitarist of Breaking Benjamin, as well as a plethora of other things. It is Keith Wallin. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
I like that you really want to get into the vibe. So you want us to all know you play guitar. You put a few guitars behind you. Very smart.
I know. Subtle, right?
Just in case we didn't know.
Exactly. That's just my natural environment.
And the skateboard. And the skateboard. Just shows that you're a badass dude at every level.
That was actually a gift from a venue. We just got back from tour. I just got home. And they gave us skateboards. And I'm like, I'll keep it. But yeah, I would never get on a skateboard because I'd probably break my ass or some shit.
Yeah, you know what
I'm realizing, by the way. Go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say, is like, did they give you the skateboard and health insurance?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't know if this is a good gift.
But, I think that our backgrounds are very telling, by the way. You have this cool rock and roll skateboarding. Josh has interesting art with musical pieces. And I got nothing that tells us what's in our souls. I think it's very giving. All right, so let's go back to you started out. The first band you were in was called Copper. Had a few hits, right? Like radio play kind of did well. Actually opened for Breaking Benjamin, which is cool. Then you join, I always said it wrong, but Adelita's Way. Am I saying that right? I don't know if that's right. Close enough.
That's it.
Also open for Breaking Benjamin, which is kind of like kismet, as us Jews might say, right? And then, which is so bizarre to me that the world we live in, this is back in 2014, you publicly announced your departure with Adelita's Way. And then Ben of Breaking Benjamin, that's where the name comes from, reached out to you on Facebook and said, hey, dude, heard you're leaving that band. You want to come play with us? Is that really how it went down?
Pretty much. Yeah. He hit me up after he saw my manifesto, my exit letter, really a thank you note, really just to thank all the fans and all the support, all the management and everything over the years with that band. And yeah, he hit me up, much to my surprise, and somehow he remembered me from the one tour we did opening up for them. And yeah, exactly what you said. He pretty much was like, you know, hey, I'm kind of looking for new musicians to you know, possibly try out. And yeah, we got on the phone, and that's what happened.
So you did an actual, it didn't like, you didn't get the gig. You had to audition.
Exactly. Yeah. It, I had to send some, I sent some videos in of me kind of playing through the songs. And yeah, initially he wanted a lead guitar player, and I'm kind of rhythm guitar player guy. I mean, I can play some lead, but I'm not a shredder by any means. And so I told him, I'm like, sure, I'll try. I'll learn some of the leads and, you know, send some videos somewhere. Those videos are out there. I don't know. But yeah, he called me up. He's like, man, videos were great. You know, we'll be in touch. And I didn't hear back for a while. So I kind of was like, all right, well, I'm not going to, you know, hold my breath. I'm going to just keep on trucking, business as usual, you know, work on some other music, you know, get a job so I can pay my rent. And then maybe I'd say, gosh, 4 months later, Jason, who is the current lead guitarist in Breaking Ben, called me in and said, hey, you ever thought about, you know, maybe playing in a band again? You know, I've been kind of talking with Ben about, you know, joining this band. And I was like, oh, I talked to Ben a little, you know, ways back. And he was like, yeah, man, I'm going to be playing lead. They need a rhythm guitar player and backing vocalist. And I'm like, that's what I do. Let's do it. And
I like the idea of you sending in a lead guitar video. And he goes, how about rhythm guitar?
Yeah. I seriously, I was like, this is going to be awful because I am not that great at playing leads, but you know, I made the video. I practiced for a little bit, made the video. You never know. But it's funny, I play rhythm mostly, but there's parts where me and Jason will kind of switch off and I'll play some of the lead stuff, you know, no crazy solos or anything, but just couple like little lead parts. But it, yeah, it's fun. It's all rock and roll, man. It's sort of,
and I'll say why sort of, because your solo album, the first one that came out the same time you joined Breaking Benjamin back in 2014, was not rock and roll. It was piano, vocal, very different. Were you doing both at the same time? You were writing that album while you were studying to join Breaking Benjamin? Was that happening together collectively?
Yeah, it was really close by on the timeline of events. I think it was pretty much for the most part done and kind of put out there when I was auditioning. I feel like I'd kind of done rock my whole career and played in rock bands. And I just kind of went through a moment there where I was like, I'll try something different. But again, you know, with my new release, it's kind of back to what I'm kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's in my heart. Rock's always there. It's, you know, so.
Well, unless you're Josh Adam Myers and it's all Lauryn Hill all the time right now.
That's the thing about music, though, is that you can, you know, I grew up with hair metal, but then the second I heard Wu-Tang, you just make a shift. And it's like music, if you like one genre, most likely you're going to like all of them. The people that say, I like everything but country, I'm like, that's bullshit. You just haven't listened to good country yet.
Right. I always say there's two kinds of music, good and bad. I can find something I like in every genre if it's done right.
For sure.
Absolutely. Plus just, you know, if you're out there just, you know, you're living your life and some song comes on and it's just a great memory and it just hits you right at the right, you know, place. You're just like, man, you know, this is awesome. You kind of get into that music.
Is there styles of music, Keith, that people would be shocked that you're a fan of? Like Josh, we found out right before we went into air, is currently researching Lauryn Hill and it brought him to tears. So do you, is there a band or an artist that people are like, oh shit, I didn't know Keith is really into, I know you like Frank Sinatra because of your parents, but stuff like that, that would be out of left field, so to speak.
That's probably what I was going to say. Yeah. You've done your research.
I don't fuck around, man. Yeah. I don't fuck around.
Oh, yeah. Correct, dude.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra. It's always, always good. You know, I love 80s music, you know, occasional, the right country music. I got a bug in here somewhere. The right country songs.
I thought that was a way of giving homage to country music.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. No, but you know, when you're out in the sun in summertime, out on the lake, you know, grilling some burgers. I mean, there's some good country songs that kind of just fit right in there. So
delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So just to move along, going back to 2014 for a second, you joined Breaking Benjamin, and it's really all new dudes, right? I mean, it's everybody but Ben is new dudes.
Yep.
Was that a tricky thing to get accepted when you guys go out and you do, Dark Before Dawn, that first comeback record? Were you embraced immediately, or was there a little apprehensiveness like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah, who the hell are these dudes? Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think at that point, the fan base, they love the band so much. I think they were just excited that the band was back, that there was new music on the way, and whatever kind of, capacity. So, and they've been completely supportive from day one, which has been amazing. And, shout out to the fans.
That's cool. Yeah, cause sometimes you hear, and Josh, I could ask you this, cause I know with Goddamn Comedy Jam, you have a lot of the same people there for a long time, right?
Same band. Yeah. I've been using the same band.
If you bring in new people, are people excited or pissed off or what?
It's funny that you said that, because we were just doing the Netflix Fest and we were doing these four shows for like, almost 1,000 people a night. And my lead guitarist got COVID the morning of our first show. And so we had to like scramble to find somebody. And I don't know if you're familiar with Tol Wilkenfeld, the bass player. I call her up. She immediately, like, I got a bunch of people, sends this guy to us. And I think it was seamless. It's not the same energy, but as long as, and this, like you were saying about Breaking Benjamin, as long as Benjamin's there, right, you're fine. If he was replaced, then they'd be like, I'm looking at Stone Temple Pilots with that new singer, and I'm like,
It doesn't have the same gravitas if it's called Breaking Steve.
Breaking Reginald.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to put like a button on Breaking Benjamin, then we'll go into your solo stuff and the new album and stuff. The last album came out in 2020, which is really a reimagining of a lot of the songs with one new song and mostly acoustic stuff. Is that where you started finding inspiration for your acoustic stuff? Because your new album, while very rocky, you're currently on tour doing it all acoustic. Is that because it seems like these things are going cohesively together again?
Yeah, I would say no. I think it's completely separate. You know, I think it's just the fact that I'm still kind of searching for the right players and right band members to do the electric thing. You know, so the easiest step was just being like, all right, I'm grabbing my guitar. Let's do this. You know,
right.
Plug in. Let's play some shows and get out there and just walk the plank out on stage by myself, which is kind of makes me feel alive in a way. It's such a different, uncomfortable thing. I mean, obviously whiskey helps, but yeah, it's fun. It's a cool thing, but I'm excited.
You did that tour, right? You did that tour where you opened for Breaking Benjamin as an acoustic solo artist. Yep. And then you went on to join Breaking Benjamin, right? On, the same tour being, that I know you're still friends with, Copper and Adam Lita's Way. Why don't you just do everyone together? That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. I never thought of that. but yeah. They're still out there. I mean, Adam Lita's Way, they're still out there playing. Right. Some of the guys in Copper, they're still, playing in bands and stuff. But
I know you said in an interview, one of the dudes from Copper is still one of your best friends. So,
Yeah, totally. A couple of the guys, good friends. Gosh, one of them I've known since first grade. So
wow. I have one of my best friends I've known since first grade, which I'm 52, so that's a long fucking time.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And you think back, it's like, dude, I've known you for like 35 years. Yeah. It's like,
for me it's 45, which is nuts.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. when your friendship lasts longer than is older than a girl you'd be willing to date, that's a long time.
For sure. So,
I watched a couple of your covers, and I have to say, I don't know where you got inspiration to do The Look by Roxette, which is totally out of left field, which I want to hear, but where that came from. But the fucking Shallow cover where you're doing the harmonies with yourself. That was wild. How did these like even come about?
Well, I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. I love 80s music, you know, synths, all that just pop ear candy stuff that was going around back then. And funny enough, a friend of mine, we were kind of thinking about, we were at the lake hanging out in a summer afternoon and just thinking about, man, what would be a good cover to do? You know, some 80s song. And then just the look came on and he was like, I bet you wouldn't do something like this. You wouldn't do this song. And I was like, I'm doing it.
That's funny. It was just that easy. Just that simple. We heard on the radio.
I wanted to kind of make it my own, you know, which I attempted to try to make it a little darker and whatever. But yeah, it was fun. It was a cool challenge. And, you know, whenever I play it live, people seem to dig it. And, but it's cool. Everyone for a while, they're kind of like, what is this? This sounds familiar, but obviously when I'm singing the chorus, they're like, okay.
I would imagine a lot of people that are Breaking Benjamin fans or your current new album fans have no fucking idea what that song is. That why would they know it? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. But, you know, the ones that do, that's cool. If they don't, then maybe they'll look it up and then catch the original someday. And they're like, oh, all right, that's cool.
Josh, how often does someone come to you when you're doing Goddamn Comedy Jam and there's a cover that they want to do that you just don't want to do? Or do you always say yes to it?
All the time.
But you say yes to it no matter what?
No, because I know what will work and I know what won't. Like, I would, you know, if I was in your band and you were like, let's do The Look by Roxette, I would be like, yes, because you know that song slaps and you know you make it great. And also, it's an album and you're putting that out. When you're doing the live show of the jam and people are like, I want to do this deep cut by George Michael, I'm like, they're not going to know it. You're going to be able to kill it, but you're not going to have fun because the audience is going to be like, we can't join in on the words. It's all about when you're doing a cover, especially, and this is specifically the jam. No B-sides, no deep album cuts. If the audience knows the song, you'll have the best time ever. That's what I've stuck with. Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Can't be too obscure.
No, you can't.
We do this thing on the network, Gas Digital, where it's called Gas Me Anything, where fans ask us all questions. And the question that was asked to me was, if you were going to do Goddamn Comedy Jam, which I cannot sing at all, so I would not do it, what song would you do? And I picked Blur's song number 2 because A, it's 2 minutes long. B, everybody fucking knows it.
Everybody does.
I wouldn't have to sing much, so that's why I would pick that song.
That woohoo would just, people would go nuts for that.
Yeah, we'd go nuts for that. So that I have to, you got to know the audience. As a DJ for fucking 100 years at a strip clubs and stuff, you had to play for the audience, not what you want to hear. And I'm sure with Breaking Benjamin too, and even your own shit.
Okay, I want to make
a set list together.
I want to make an amendment to that as a strip club DJ as well. When I worked night shifts Friday, Saturday, you had to play all hits. When I worked day shift,
getting
away with some Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. I'm getting some Nine Inch Nails. I'm getting some So Alive by Lovin' Rockets. Like, you can go deep cuts.
It's not a fair. You're playing to nobody. So who gives a fuck?
Well, no, there's four guys. There's Dean Devlin, the guy that produced Independence Day. He used to go to Rouge. Should I have said that? Probably not, but who gives a fuck?
They made me play, they made me DJ at a strip club once on Valentine's Day. And every hour on the hour, I played Loser by Beck and dedicated to everybody there. You are a fucking loser if you came in on Valentine's Day. Did it over and over again. Just so pissed about it. All right, before we go any further, this is one of our longtime sponsors. We're so happy that they're still part of this entire network of Gas Digital. It is YoKratom, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. If you've noticed at this point, and who hasn't, everything's going up. Meat prices, gas prices, rent, everything except the price of a kilo of Kratom at YoKratom.com. High quality curated Kratom wholesale prices shipped direct to you from YoKratom.com. They're keeping their price at $60. A bunch of blends, a bunch of custom blends, a bunch of unique strains, all can be found at YoKratom.com. I know Shannon likes the train wreck one. I just see everybody around the Gas Digital Studios always sipping on that Kratom. And plus, it just seems cool to buy Kratom by the kilo. So head to YoKratom.com. Support the sponsors that support the show and the entire network. Thank you so much to Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. Let's get back into it. All right. So now, 7 years between your first solo record and this one, right? The obvious question is, what was the motivation? Was it, because I think most of this was recorded pre-COVID, or at least written pre-COVID, so you can't say it was COVID.
Yeah.
7 years, a long fucking time. What was the motivation?
Yeah, I think, you know, for a long time, I was kind of just focused on breaking Ben and just making sure I was as good as I could be in that band, learning all the material and being able to perform it all adequately and do it justice live. So that was a big priority for me. 2015, when did that first do? Maybe 2018. I started kind of putting out a couple little singles.
Yeah, they were very poppy, like Summer Sunday, Four Letter Words. They're very poppy songs.
Yeah, same kind of thing where I was like, you
Josh, I'm prepared, by the way. I'm fucking prepared.
You kill it, dude.
Tip of the cap. Yes, definitely.
And by the way, on a side note, Keith, I watched some abortion interviews with you. I mean, I felt bad for you, dude. I watched some interviews that are like, God damn it, this is rough. Anyway, sorry.
Continue. No, I appreciate it.
Ben really broken. Yeah. Like, wait, come on, dude.
How did they get him back together? Was it all the King's Horses kind of thing? All right, those songs that came out in 2018 were it was like poppy rock. It was more a
little bit of pop alternative kind of thing. And me just kind of having fun. I mean, I love that's one thing about the solo music that I'm able to do. I'm free to do whatever the hell I want. There's like ultimate freedom. You know, there's things that aren't necessarily the right thing for, you know, Breaking Ben. And,
right.
You know, the band has a reputation and a fan base. There's expectations there. So
right. With
my stuff, there is absolutely no expectations for better or for worse. So I could do whatever. But again, I just eventually came back to the rock. And, I think that, you know, I'd kind of planned on doing this solo album before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, of course we all know, the shit went down, shit hit the fan. And, I had a lot of that stuff kind of in the works beforehand, but, it turns out, you know, I had plenty of time to kind of obsess over the mixes and the math to get it done. And, really it's just like, I know I'm going to be old one day and I'm not going to be able to play guitar.
I'm already there, buddy.
Sing. And I don't want to look back and be like, man, I should have wrote more songs. I should have played more shows. So the quick answer is why not? Why not do solo stuff and get it out there and just do it?
So I have two questions. Go ahead.
Well, before you ask it, I just want to say to all the listeners of the SDR show, just listen to what Keith just said. Like, if there's something that you want to do in your life, you better do it. Because the last thing you want to do is be Ralph's age and be like, I didn't do it. I wish I would have. Yeah. Do it. Thank you for saying that because I live.
And also, thank you for throwing my age under the bus.
Well, I knew the joke would play. That was why.
So here, it's two questions. Ready? One, is there a song on this new record of This World of the Next that you wrote with the intention of it going to Breaking Benjamin and for whatever reason it didn't and now it's on your record?
No, zero.
Zero. Fair enough. Okay. Yep. And now this is the bigger question, the deeper question. Okay. What you just said about, you know, I don't want to be too old and not be able to play guitar anymore and blah, blah, blah. And do what you can while you can. Because you definitely, in the last few years, seem to have been like Superman in the working with others and putting out music space. You worked with a friend of mine, Madam Mayhem. You worked with Dorothy. Love and Death, you did a song for them, which is great. Even with, Fran from Sum 41. Like, there's so much shit coming out that has Keith on it. It makes me wonder... Well, you also said when I can't play guitar anymore, did you find out something? Was there an epiphany or a moment? And if it's not medical, just a moment when you realize, oh, I got to do everything I can right now.
No, nothing's wrong that I know of, other than I eat too much damn pizza. I mean, don't we all?
Reason why I'm saying is that it's not like your entire career you can see with featuring Keith Wallen, but in the past 4 or 5 years, it's fucking everywhere. So you had a spiritual awakening.
Sorry about that, by the way.
Oh, by the way, the Love and Death song, The Hunter, is great. That's a great fucking song.
Thank you.
I love Head and a super cool dude, but it made me wonder, maybe this dude found out he has fucking some sort of hand disease and he's not going to be able to play guitar in a year.
Monkeypox. Yeah, man. That's, yeah, sorry. I used your joke.
It's all good, dude. It's for everybody. It's for everybody.
That shit's everywhere now. I'm like, every day I'm like, monkeypox. I'm like, okay.
It's the new Chipotle. It's on every street corner.
Yeah.
So there had to be a moment like maybe it's not a medical moment, but it was an internal dialogue moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't remember there being a specific moment other than just like, man, why not? I mean, obviously COVID happened. We had a lot of time to just sit at home. I mean, a lot of people's music careers were completely just stolen from them, just right. Completely robbed of my career. And, you know, you sit there and you got so much time to think about, you know, gosh, your mental health, your worth, your self-worth as a human, as a musician, as a person, you know? So I guess I'm just trying to make up for lost time and just get out there and, you know, throw it out there. Why not?
I'm shocked there's not more records and more tours right now post COVID. I thought we would have been over. I thought Pink Floyd was going to get back together.
I think people are afraid. I think they still think shit's going to get fucking delayed again.
Yeah.
And they don't want to spend the time and money organizing something that's going to go to shit.
No, I get it. Yeah. Maybe.
For sure. That's probably a lot of it. You know, I think a lot of people are just like, look, we got to just go. We got to keep going. I mean, you know, it's like, I want to at least just get out there and if it all goes away again, I mean, at least I got this one little window of playing shows. So
yeah,
you never know. It's a microcosm of just what I said about like getting old, like when I'm not able to do it. I mean, we might not be able to do it next month. So want to just
I feel
get
like
out
when you guys are saying getting old, you're both just talking about me and nobody else. I think that's really what's happening.
You look better than both of us. So I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Absolutely,
You got fillers and Botox. It's working for you.
It's funny. And also people used to think I dye my hair because it's still pretty black, but I have a gray stripe right here somewhere. But
dude, I'm completely gray up here.
That's why I shave, because I have a gray beard. So I keep my beard gone.
I'm a gray man.
I would look too old. That's why I do it. How old are you, Josh?
I'm 42.
Okay, man, you look like shit.
I know, dude. Fentanyl. That's what does
it. Keith, as we talked about earlier, you did some acoustic shows on your own. Now you're about to go out full electric on your own, right? How fucking terrifying is it as a guy openly playing rhythm guitars and doing backup vocals, but now it's all you. You have nobody else to blame if the set goes bad.
Yeah. Like I said, whiskey helps. You know, the playing isn't the bad thing. It's the in-between song banter that I have difficulty with, because, you know, look, when you're first learning how to play guitar and you want to be a musician, you know, no one ever says like, hey, well, in between playing music, you're a public speaker. And right. So that's something to get used to.
Do you actually try and like work out shtick off stage? Like, I'm going to say this, then this, or is it organic? Whatever happens, happens.
A little bit of both. I don't think I per se work anything out beforehand, but I think my show, what I say on the first show, I feel like I have more stuff to say the last show because stuff happens. You say right. Something. I mean, one lady yelled up. She says, I like your mullet. And I guess I have a little bit of a mullet back here. I couldn't hear her, but it sounded like she said guacamole. So on the mic, I'm just like, I don't know what you said, but it sounded like guacamole. I love guacamole. Sure, let me have it. And so everybody just started yelling guacamole at me. And then the next show, somebody yelled guacamole, and it just turned into a thing. So I thought that was pretty funny.
So cool. He said, anyway, long story short, go to keithwallensguacamole.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting it on sale right now. All right, before we go any further, I am talking to you, auto mechanics, or super cool do-it-yourself work on your own car people. I want to tell you all about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com, been in the business 20 years. They make it easy for you to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. You're not talking to counter guys who might need to order your parts, don't even know what you're looking for, or never even quite sure of what you need. And even if they do have it, they're going to charge you storefront markups. But not at RockAuto.com. You can easily find everything you need, whether you're an auto mechanic, an auto shop, or just someone working on their own car. You all have the access to all that same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy right now, head over to rockauto.com and check all those parts that they have on rockauto.com. You're just going to have fun perusing the site. It's a good SAT word. You're going to be perusing the site looking for all those cool things for your car. You never know what might speak to you. So once more, head over to rockauto.com. They're so sure that they have the best possible prices. There is not even a promo code, but just tell them that you heard about them on the SDR show when you make that purchase at rockauto.com. Thank you for supporting the show. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so now I know you're going to do a song for us. I have a few more questions. I don't know what song you're going to do off the record or what, but I know you're going to do a song live. What song are you doing?
I was going to do Dream Away.
Cool. That was the first single. I think it charted in 2021 as well. So that's awesome. We'll do that. We have a few more questions, but let's have you do a song live first. That's cool.
Cool. Yeah. Hopefully everything sounds okay with the audio. I don't know.
I mean, people are used to it. It is a Zoom world that we live in. So.
Can you hear that all right?
We do hear it well. Yeah.
All right. I'll just, you want me to just do it?
Just do it.
All right, man.
Out on the colder side of the moon, seeking a way to get back to you, waking up to never-ending light. I just need to close my eyes, I just need to close my eyes and dream away of a new life. Try to forget my worries for a while. And oh, it's so late in my own mind. Nothing matters but to feel alive. Out on the coldest side of the moon, carrying name, it's all I could do. Dark abyss comes through my line of sight. I just need to close my eyes, I just need to close my eyes and dream away of a new life. Try to forget my worries for a while. And oh, it's so late in my own mind. Nothing matters but to be
damn it, the dude's got
that was
pipes.
Good. Jesus yeah, that was Christ. Great.
Thank you.
That is wild. That is
thank
really
you
good
that
stuff.
Much.
Wow. You feel most comfortable on guitar, but you play piano also. Do you ever try to incorporate it in live, or is that too hard to pull off?
I never tried that. I mean, with a little bit of practice, I guess anything's possible, but yeah, probably a little more comfortable with guitar.
Right. And you're doing acoustic shows throughout June, right? If I'm not mistaken. And then the second half of the Red Tour, you're going full band.
Yeah, there should be another leg of my headlining shows in July. We haven't announced yet. Still kind of working on the routing. And I'm going to try. That's going to be full electric, I think. And then for the European tour with Red, that's going to be full electric as well. So,
right. And who's in your band?
So I'm still kind of figuring that out for the tour with Red. Crazy. A couple of the guys from Red are actually going to play with me for my set. Mm-hmm. I have a good friend of mine. He's a great guitar player named Mike Warren is going to be playing lead guitar for me for a lot of these shows coming up and for the foreseeable future. And still working on a permanent ish drummer and permanent ish bass player.
In the interest of full disclosure, while we're recording this, it's almost June. So if you're going out in a couple of months, it's kind of weird that you don't have a fucking band yet. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Well, the June tour is just
June is acoustic. I know, but that's not that far away. It's a few months away. It just seems weird to me that you haven't figured that out yet, but kudos to you that it doesn't bother you. Josh, I don't know if I didn't do the kind of research I did on Keith with you. Did you ever, I know you play instruments and you sing. Did you ever put out a solo record or do anything like that? Or you have no idea?
I was in bands like in high school, and then in college I dropped out and was in a band. We were working on I think we recorded like 3 or 4 songs like in somebody's basement, mm-hmm. using as many mics and that we could, and then that fell apart, and then I started doing stand-up. And I write songs. I ghostwrite for another comic that does musical comedy. I constantly hear songs, and you know, like much like what you were saying about, you know, if you're something you want to do, I think eventually I probably will end up putting out some form of a record or something. Mm. But the kudos to you.
These days it is relatively easy, you know, that compared to even just a few years ago, it gets easier. Every couple of years it gets even easier.
I just started buying instruments for my apartment. Like I just bought a guitar. I bought a keyboard. So I'm always playing music, but it's like the idea of like sitting down and writing a full album. It's there. I just don't know. There's so many other projects I want to work on. But yeah, dude, what you played was incredible, man. That was really such a great song. Great. Yeah, really sounded great.
I didn't realize the pipes you had on you until I saw the Shallow cover, which was like, oh my God, this dude has fucking crazy vocal range. I wanted to write a parody instead of Shallow called It Swallow. And it was all about asking a girl to swallow.
Of course.
That was my idea. I think it's a good idea.
God. It's so Ralph.
It's such a good song. Will you swallow, swallow? I mean, it writes itself, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
I am balls deep in. Oh, watch me,
I had a whole fucking thing. I'll put my peen in. I forget what it was. It doesn't matter. Anyway, to change the topic completely, you said in an interview, which I'm curious what your goals were, that you had set some goals for yourself as a kid and you have far surpassed any of those goals. Do you remember what the goals were that you far surpassed? Was it, you know, because to be so sure about, like, I didn't have anything that grandiose. What were your goals that you surpassed?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, probably, you know, 16-year-old kid, you know, you're thinking, man, it'd be cool if I was in a signed band, you know, like that's one, like wonder what it's like to be in a tour bus, like on tour, you know, like all those things, like,
right.
Yeah. But, you know, although I keep adding to the list of goals, you know, I think a good goal, that I have now is I want to be able to eventually just, you know, with my solo career, especially, I want to be able to just be able to play anywhere and at least 200 people show up. Great. That'd be an amazing accomplishment. I mean, it's hard to do. This first tour, I'm hoping that at least like 20 people show.
Can I ask a stupid question? I didn't look at any of the promo material, but does it say Keith Wallen of Breaking Benjamin or just says Keith Wallen?
It does say that for now. Right. I mean, obviously I want to move away from that kind of
moniker. But it does help. I'm just curious. It does help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it is one of those things. I mean, it's a true statement, you know, I do play in that band, but you know, I want to make a career on my own merit. I don't want to use that, you know,
obviously. Right, but I mean, that is part of your career. So it is your own merit. I don't understand why people fear that, but I get what you're saying. Your dad was a vocalist and your mom was also in entertainment. Did that inspire you early on? And what did they do exactly?
Yeah. My dad was a singer, kind of a crooner singer back in the day. You know, he grew up in West Virginia, went to the military, came back and kind of moved to New York and had this kind of fledgling singing career and met my mother in New York, who was kind of like in this traveling dance troupe thing. And he was a singer in a show and she was one of the dancers there, and they met. The rest is history, as they say.
Do you work any of her dance moves into your sets, or you don't do them?
Yeah, no, I'm none of that. It's kind of like, you know, Radio City Rockettes kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
that's
lots
fun.
Of kicks. And
I watched one video where you were just smashing things. That was the crux. So you seem like a very angry boy in that video.
Yeah, yeah. That was like, well, what haven't I done in a video? All right, let's just break some dishes. All right, cool. Yeah. This will be fun.
Nice.
And then also, which by the way, you're just fucking cool as shit, is Breaking Benjamin is doing a tour with Alice in Chains and Bush. That is a fucking crazy lineup.
Yeah.
God damn it. That's going to be fun, I'm sure.
I'm super excited. I mean, gosh, I mean, I've been an Alice in Chains fan my whole life, you know, Bush as well. And just being able to just, you know, watch those legends play every night, I'm super excited for it.
And we had both singers on our show. We had William from Alice in Chains, and we had Gavin from Bush on the show, which is pretty cool. It all ties
amazing.
Together cohesively.
That's
okay, Shannon, we're going to do the first right now with Keith.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
All right, the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and what we mean is a show that hopefully we know, not some fucking local band no one's ever heard of, and ideally one you went on your own volition, as in not you were dragged to a show by your parents, etc.
Yeah, so first concert was 1998. I was 18 years old, and it was Metallica in Cincinnati, Riverbend.
That's a pretty good one.
It's a good
one. It was actually, it was Days of the New, Jerry Cantrell, Metallica. That was the
full lineup. That's a good lineup. And doesn't Metallica songs creep into Breaking Benjamin sets every now and then?
Yeah, we used to do that. We used to do kind of a medley of songs there, and would always kind of finish up with a Metallica song.
Nice. Josh, I came fucking prepared.
You did, dude. So you know. You're killing
me, man.
By the way, sometimes I'm wrong with my research, but so far I've nailed every single one of these things, which I feel good about.
And you said my name right. That's always a plus.
I saw, by the way, someone else said one of the band names wrong in an interview. I can't remember what they said. It doesn't matter. But anyway, the first drug you ever did, ideally after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
After weed.
Because everyone's is always weed.
Shrooms.
And how old were you?
I was probably 27.
Okay, wow. So older for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you enjoy it, or was it a one-time experience?
I would say that I think it was okay. The first time it was okay.
Josh is holding up mushrooms right now for everybody.
There we go. I've had good experiences. I've had bad experiences. But the craziest stuff I've ever taken was ayahuasca.
That's the DMT, but the like pure, like it's like how CBD is to weed, DMT is to ayahuasca. Correct? I believe that's right.
Oh yeah, it was a journey. Let's say.
Did you shit your pants? Because a lot of people do.
Fortunately, I did not. I did eventually vomit, but that's part of it, I guess. The purge, I guess they say. Yeah.
Did you get out of it what you were hoping to get out of it?
You know, usually I would say that I've never done acid, and I've always been kind of hesitant because, you know, I was always thinking, man, I'm going to have a bad trip. I'm going to see skulls flying at me, and it's going to be just 8 hours of a nightmare. So I was, for some reason, I agreed to do it. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to be like that. I just want to, get to the bottom of this. I was super curious enough to do it. And,
what year was it?
I would say I did get what I thought I would get. But I didn't have too many expectations going in.
Okay.
What year was it that you did it?
That was 2015.
Can I make an assumption that since that seems to coincide with your newfound desire to do everything, maybe those two things had the intended effect to coincide together? Is that possible?
Maybe. Very well. Yeah, maybe.
I like to psychoanalyze our guests, Josh, in case you're wondering. That's what I like to do. Okay, so now the first time you had sex.
I was a freshman in college. I was 18.
Was it someone you were dating for a while? Was it a one-off experience?
It was my girlfriend at the time. Yeah.
Adorable. And I imagine that happened a few times after that as well. It wasn't like one-off.
No, I just quit while I was ahead. That was it.
One and done.
I met with her. She didn't just do it once with her. You guys stayed together.
What was the question again?
we'll skip over that. Okay. So just to do the plugs right now, you go to keithwallen.com at KJ Wallen on the Instagrams. The new album, This World or the Next. There's tours up on his website. I mean, dates up for the tour. The acoustic stuff is in June. New dates adding soon for July. And then there is a full-on electric tour with Red coming up in the fall, as well as the big Breaking Benjamin tour, which I think is in August with Alice in Chains and Bush. Is there anything else I'm not plugging before we go around the room and do plugs?
That's it.
Well, that was good. Josh, your plug?
At Josh Adam Myers on all social media, joshadammyers.com for tickets. I've got a lot of cool stuff going on. July 3rd, we're doing a goddamn comedy jam here in New York City. July 12th, goddamn comedy jam in Los Angeles. July 27th, I'm doing a goddamn comedy jam at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C., which is my home rock club. It's cool. The biggest show of my life because I've seen millions of bands there. It's where I grew up as a music fan. And then you'll see me all of July at the Just for Laughs Montreal Comedy Festival. I'm doing the Nasty Show with your co-host, Big J. Okerson.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm out, man.
Which episode of the 500 are you going to book me on and then unbook me on?
Honestly, I'd love to have both of you guys on, and I'll talk to my booker. And if we get the artist that actually made the record, I'm going to bump you. I'm sorry. Kim Thayil is, dude, have you met Kim Thayil?
No, I have not.
He is the nicest guy. He's a homie supreme from this point on. And Ralph, you're always there. You're a veil.
I'm there in spirit. That's nice. I'm always there. I'm old. Go fuck yourself, Josh Adam Myers. Shannon, you want to do your plugs?
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, comedians, musicians, TV, reality TV stars, porn stars. Sorry, it's so loud in the background. I hope it's not coming through the mic.
We hear it, but it's fine. It sounds like you're real exciting and things are going on.
Very fun. So all sorts of interesting people come on and they tell their own personal accounts of their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, so now, Keith, do not give a reaction to this when I ask the question. Wait till we all chime in. Josh doesn't even know what I'm about to do, but we do this with every guest that comes on. Shannon's show is about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. So we ask every guest if they believe in ghosts, and we take a guess. So Josh, does Keith believe in ghosts? Yes or no?
Yes.
Shannon, does Keith believe in ghosts?
No.
I'm going with no also. Keith, do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
I don't know. That's a yes.
No, it's not a no.
I haven't been wrong in a long time. You fucked up my record, Keith. Thank you so much for that. It's been a while since I've been wrong. All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast. Comes out every Monday. We're opening up our first store in the end of June on the corner of 3rd and 69th Street. And again, that's called The Good Sugar Podcast. This show is twice a week, every Wednesday and Saturday, the SDR Show. We add a song to the playlist every week at the sdrshow.com/playlist. How could we not add Fractured, where you got so angry in that video? I believe it was for that one. And we'll add that to the playlist. Keith, Josh, everyone, Shannon even, thank you so much for taking the time out on the Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll podcast.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.